Well, last Sunday after church, Teresa Lambert and Lee and who was the third one? Samima said that this Sunday, the three of them would preach. They knew more about toxic relationships than I did. So they said I believe we can out preach you on that one, preacher. And I said, okay, well, you girls are welcome to give it a try. Oh, me. Just real quickly, for those of you who were not here last week, I made last week's notes on there for you so that we wouldn't have to spend a whole lot of time going back over that. But we took a look at Philippians chapter 2. See if I can get this thing to work. Make sure we're in slideshow. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." The Living Bible says in Philippians 2, 5, "Your attitude should be the same kind that was shown to us by Jesus Christ." We talked about last week that when God created the garden in order for Adam to live in it, He created a garden that was good. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, He makes the comment that not everything is good, that there is something that is not good. And what that is, it is not good that man should be alone. Now, anytime, the reason God wanted to keep us from the tree of the knowledge of what is good and what is evil is because God wanted to make the decisions in our lives as to what is good and what is bad. And, we all might want to adopt the, I think it was Paul Simon theology, "I am a rock, I am an island." Well, no, you're not, and none of us are, and we need to remember that God said it is not good that we should be alone. But the other side of that is that there are some relationships that it is not good for us to be involved in. There are certain people who are toxic to our lives. And we need to be careful that the relationships that we have in our lives are healthy ones. So, let me look at what we talked about last week. Alrighty. The first person that we need to avoid being involved in relationships with is a person that doesn't admit weakness, need, failure, or sin. And we looked at in Luke 18 how there were two people who went to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee, I said, "I thank you that I'm not like these other men, and or like this other man over here," and was unwilling to admit that he had a need that was in his life. And there are lots of people who are like this. They think that that they don't make any mistakes, that everybody else makes mistakes, and that even if they do get caught making a mistake, it's always someone else's fault. So we need to be careful about people who are not willing to admit that they have a weakness, a need, a failure, or that they can do anything wrong. The second person is a person who's religious but not real. What I call a religious faker. Religion is the worst thing that you can be involved in, because it gives you a sense of false security. And God did not come to save the religious. Jesus was always at war with the religious. And for those of you who will come this evening and be with us here at 6 o'clock for the showing of the Passion of the Christ, you can see where religion will lead you. Religion will lead you to killing the very Son of God, all in the name of your religion. And so we need to be careful that we don't hang out with people who are religious. Number three is a person who is closed to honest criticism. Last week we talked about, and you can get a copy of this, of course. That's why I'm just sort of scooting over the top of it so we can get to the rest of what we want to try to finish up on this today. But we talked about last week on how to handle criticism. What you do with it and how to handle it. But there are some people who just simply can't handle any criticism whatsoever. They're just always full of excuses as to why it is they do the things that they do. The fourth is a person who apologizes but fails to change. A person who apologizes but fails, "I am so sorry, I didn't mean to do that." And then they turn around and they do it again. "I am so sorry, I didn't mean to do that." And they turn around and they do it again. These are called abusers. Is what they're called. Okay? And they don't make any changes, but they sure can be apologetic. Number five, a person who demands trust rather than earns it. Trust is something that is earned, not something that is demanded. It is okay sometimes to say, "No, I do not trust you." We hear it from our children. "You don't trust me?" "No, I don't trust you. You haven't proven to me yet that you will use that head that's attached to your shoulders." We have to be careful of people who demand trust rather than earning it. Number six, a person who places blame instead of taking responsibility. "I wouldn't have said what I said if you hadn't said what you said. I wouldn't have done what I did if you hadn't done what you did. Well, I couldn't help it.
I'm only human."
There we go. "I'm only human. Thank you very much. Help me preach. I'm only human." That's exactly right. What a cop-out that is. Number seven, a person who lies when rather than tell the truth. Told you that story last week about somebody who used to work for me. If he said to you, "Isn't it a beautiful, bright, sunshiny day?" You needed to open the shades and check. Because there wasn't a subject he was not willing to lie to you about. He would lie when the truth would do. Unbelievable. And there just are people who will lie. And the thing we want to understand about lying is it all comes from one place, Jesus said. A person who avoids intimacy. Intimacy is in to me, see. We have to be careful that we're not involved in relationships where people want to know what's going on with us, but they don't want us to know what's going on with them. Number nine, a person concerned with me, not we. Like I tell my children all the time, the only axis that you are on which the world spins is your own. Amen?
Amen.
Number 10, this is what we got up to last week. A person threatened by individual freedom. These are control freaks. "I want to know where you are. I want to know what you're doing. I want to know who you're talking to. I want to know what you said. How did you say it? What did they say in back? How did they say it back?" Control freaks. You have to be careful about people who are threatened by our individual freedoms. All righty. That brings us up to speed for this week. Ready? Number 11. A person who flatters rather than comforts. According to Proverbs, I thought I had Proverbs listed in there and I couldn't find it. A person who flatters rather than comforts. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A toxic relationship is to be involved with a person who flatters rather than comforts. You know why? Because What's toxic about this relationship is that they have the inability or the unwillingness to tell you the truth. Now, in a relationship, if we're going to be involved in a relationship, there's got to be a willingness on both parts to tell the truth. Sometimes, Michelle and I, when we're talking, I'll say to her, if I ask you an honest question, will you give me an honest answer? Her response always is, if I choose to answer, it's going to be honest. Now, how many of you know that right there, I just set myself up? Okay? At that point, I have a decision to make. Do I want her to be real honest? And I do. I do want her to be real honest. Tell me what it is, how you see it. Tell me the truth as you see it, whether you think I want to hear it or not. Because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, we'll never get anywhere telling each other lies. We will only get somewhere as we deal with the truth. Alrighty? Number 13. That's what I said. Number 12. A person who is unwilling to forgive. I could stay here for hours and talk to you on the subject of forgiveness. But let me just kind of boil it down real quick to this. In the kingdom of God, forgiveness is not an option. And let me say this. Okay, because I'm going to tell you, we're going to be in a good relationship here. I'm going to tell you the truth. If when you come to the altar, you remember that you have aught against a brother, leave your gift and go and be reconciled and then come back and make your offering known. We say, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Hey, you don't even have to say it. That's the way it works. Somehow or another, we have gotten the perception or idea or concept that God is somehow obligated because we are willing to pray. Let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen. There are prayers. Gosh, how do I say this? God hears all prayers. There are prayers God doesn't hear. I just sound like I contradicted myself. Because God says, if you're harboring unforgiveness, I will not hear your prayer. Now, we can stand around and we can talk mind to mind as long as you want to. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how bad they hurt me. You don't know how deceived I was. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Hey, you're right. Guess what? I don't know. Guess what? Doesn't change anything. Because in the kingdom of God, forgiveness is not an option. And the more I learn about forgiveness, the steeper the price gets. I'm going to step out on a limb here and I'm going to tell you this, okay? I believe that there is a place of forgiveness that can be obtained in the Spirit to where you really can not only forgive, you can forget. Well, I might forgive them, but I'm not going to forget what they did. Well, that's one level. If you want to sit there. I believe that the Holy Spirit can... Boy, it's gotten quiet in here all of a sudden. I believe that the Holy Spirit can so heal us on the inside that it can totally eliminate as though the situation never happened. Now, did I say, and it's easy? No, I did not. But I will say this, it's worthwhile. because it will hinder God working in your life, and nothing is worth that. Forgiveness is not an option to us, ladies and gentlemen. Next, I won't call out any numbers since I don't know where I am. A person who is unable to relate equally. I'm going to define this for you. A person who is unable to relate equally. You ever been around people and they make you feel like you're a child? That's what I'm talking about. That's a toxic relationship. When you're around somebody and when you leave, you feel like, they talk to me like I'm a child. Now let's take the pendulum, swing it all the way the other way. You ever been involved in a relationship with somebody and you're always the parent? That they just refuse to grow up. That they're always the child. And you know, you have to always be the responsible one. You have to always make the decisions. You know, there's no equality in the relationship at all. They won't relate equally. Many of you will remember Jonathan and Alexis Hale. I used to love to hang around with them because they were a few years older than me, but they always treated me like I was their age. You understand what I'm saying? I loved that about them. They didn't treat me like I was a child, but then they didn't treat me like I was something more than them. Just whenever I was around them, they just always treated me like an adult. Let me back up over here and say this. Mamas, there are times when as our children grow, we become less mama and more friend. Because we don't need to be mamaing 35-year-olds. Oh, I thought somebody threw something. Hello? But I've got this lady that I work with who talks to me about her brother who is a leech on their mother, and she still and this is a grown man in his 40s, and his mama is buying his Christmas presents for him. Hello? And this person that I work with, she said, I'm going to have a talk with my mama. I said, you need to have a talk with your mama. She needs to put that boy out on his ear. Now, I don't recommend teaching someone to swim by pushing them off the end of the pier, but there are some people who are never going to get in the water unless they're pushed off the end of the pier. It's toxic whenever we don't relate to each other equally. Next, a person who lacks consistency. What this has to do with, unkept commitments. We need to be careful, ladies and gentlemen, that we are good to our word. I'm going to call you tomorrow. Then I need to call tomorrow. I'm going to get that done this week. Then I need to get that done this week. Especially if we're in relationship. If I'm depending on you to do what it is you said you were going to do, then your word needs to have enough credibility in it that you either do it or we renegotiate. Sorry, Don, I wasn't able to get that done this week, you know, but I'll get it done next week. Fine. But it is disrespectful to not be consistent in what it is we say and in what it is we do. And as believers, ladies and gentlemen, our word needs to be our bond. Because our word represents someone other than just ourselves. And number 15, I'll spend a little bit of time here. A person who cannot keep a confidence. Is extremely toxic to a relationship. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip goes around spreading rumors while a trustworthy man tries to quiet them. A friend of mine sent me an email this week I wanted to read you. Mildred, the church gossip and self-appointed arbitrator of all the church morals, kept sticking her nose into other people's business. Several members were unappreciative of her activities. How many of you know that's true? But they feared her enough to maintain their silence. She made a mistake, however, when she accused George, a new member, of being an alcoholic after she saw his pickup truck parked in front of the town's only bar one afternoon. She commented to George and others that everyone seeing it there would know what he was doing. George, a man of few words, stared at her for a moment and just walked away. He didn't explain, defend, or deny. He just said nothing. Later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup in front of Mildred's house and left it there all night. So you need to be careful about putting your nose in other people's business. My mother used to say this right here. A dog that brings a bone will carry a bone. That's what my mama used to say. A dog that'll carry a bone. A dog that'll bring a bone will carry a bone. Amen? Really, what confidence is boiled down to is trust. The question we have to ask ourselves is this. Am I a trustworthy person? That you can tell me something that you wouldn't want anybody else in the world to know, and know that nobody else in the world will know but me and you. In my particular position, I know things about people that if I were to say things I know, I don't know but what some of them might not go out and shoot themselves. Or shoot me, yes. Right, one or the other. But you know, I consider myself to be a trustworthy person to where the confidences that people have in me, they don't have to worry about me. We need to be trustworthy people. And trust is the foundation for any good relationship. All right, a couple of things in closing. Closing advice, number one. Love yourself so that you can love others. You are never going to be involved in good relationships until you learn to love yourself. You are never going to be involved in good relationships until you learn to forgive yourself. You're never going to be involved in good relationships until you learn to trust yourself. Because you see, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, you can't give away what you don't have. I can't love you unless I love me. I can't trust you unless I trust me. I can't be honest with you if I am not willing to be honest with myself. So love yourself so that in turn you can love others. Number two, Set appropriate boundaries. Set appropriate boundaries. There are, and in all of our lives, relationships are at different levels. And we just need to be careful that in our relationships, that boundaries are not crossed. I'm trying to think of a good example, and I can't really think of one that comes to mind right this moment, but we've all had situations, though, where we felt like our personal space was being invaded. And there isn't anything wrong with saying, you know, this conversation needs to take about a half a step back because it's going into an area that I feel uncomfortable with. There isn't anything wrong with that. And the boundaries are different with every relationship that we're in. And they need to be appropriate for the relationship that we're involved in. But we need to set appropriate boundaries. Next, connect with like-minded believers. Okay, let me hang here for just a second. You know, I was telling you earlier about this documentary on Sigmund Freud and C.S. Lewis I was watching this week, and they were doing the documentaries, and then they would go to this round table, and they had all of these experts who were at this round table. And one guy was the editor-in-chief of Skeptic magazine. I'm thinking to myself, what a joy-filled life you must have. But he is an expert because he's the editor-in-chief of Skeptic magazine. I'm thinking to myself, oh, Lord have mercy. Anyway, what gets on my nerves when I watch this stuff is these people sit around with their head held up and they go, well, in my life experience, what I have come to see as the truth is, and they think that because they think it's the truth that it makes it true. Hey, it doesn't. Just because you think it's true doesn't make it true. You see, the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, is without God, we become our own yardstick. And so we begin to measure ourselves against ourselves, and the more we measure ourselves against ourselves, the smaller we become. That's why there's got to be something outside of ourselves that we answer to. Because it is only in something outside of ourselves that we answer to that life has any meaning or purpose or whatever to it. There are only two kinds of people in the world. The lost and the redeemed. And the redeemed category is a very small group. Last night, Jonathan and I are, you know, he's on the floor playing with the baby, and I'm sitting there eating supper, and we're watching Cops. And this guy gets arrested, and he's got a meth pipe in the front seat of his truck. And in the closing segment of the thing on Cops, the police says to him, you need to get yourself into a rehabilitation program and get yourself straightened out. I hit the mute button on the TV and I said, I want to ask you two something. What do you figure is the percentage of people who are on that kind of a level of drug, who put themselves into a recovery program and ever really come out clean? What do you figure that percentage is? Now, I don't know, but I'm figuring about next to none. About next to none. So I'm thinking to myself, that cop just gave that guy useless information. Less than 2%? Okay. Less than 2%. Okay, let's just even buy that. You see, until we are living for something other than ourselves, then life really isn't worth living. You might as well enjoy your meth pipe or whatever else it is you want to do. There, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. Ooh, how far do I want to go with this? There are sick people in the world. Sick people. And I'm not talking about sick, I'm talking about sick. Who do crazy things. And we need to be careful that any kind of relationship that we're involved in is one of saying to them, you need to come to Jesus. We all need somebody in our life that we can bounce things off of, but who ultimately in the end will say to us eyeball to eyeball, what's important here is what does Jesus want for you? And I seem to be like a needle stuck on a scratch on an LP on that subject. And I keep reevaluating it almost every day of my life, and I keep coming back to it. Life is really just this simple. What does Jesus want? Throw out all the other variables. Well, I think He wants this, but. Well, throw out the buts and just go with what He wants. But I don't have any money. I don't have any food. I don't have any place to live. I got children who are going crazy. My job is terrible. I'm trying to do this. Hey, what's important is, what does Jesus want? If we will pursue that with passion, everything else will fall into line. Jesus put it this way, seek ye first the kingdom. Next, give change a chance. All righty. Let me upset your boat just a little bit. It's amazing to me how many times, let's say, a husband leaves his wife, or a wife leaves her husband, or parents will come to see me because their children have done something stupid. And here's what they'll say. They'll say, I don't know what happened. Well, let's just say that one spouse leaves another, okay? And they'll come and they'll talk and they'll say, I don't know what happened. We were happily married. Duh. Apparently not. But just all of a sudden, this morning, they just left. No. They've been leaving. You just didn't see the signs. Hello? That's what it was. Things don't just happen. Well, he was a perfect child until he got into the 9th grade. And then he fell in with that group. See how it's always somebody else's fault? See? And then he fell in with that group. And then all of a sudden, he was doing, he's been doing things all along. You just now found out about it. And when you said, how long you been doing this? He said, I just started, which was a... People don't just start doing things. Hello? We don't just wake up one morning and decide, hey, I think I'll be a mass murderer today. No, the anger boils up over time and then just spills out. Said all that to go in the opposite direction. People don't change like that either for the better. They don't change for the worse like that. They don't change for the better like that. It's a process. Change takes time. We have to work our way back out of where it is we've come to. And we should give change a chance. But just because I say I'm different doesn't mean I'm different. We should offer people grace and mercy and opportunity. But we need to understand and we didn't get where we are overnight, we're not going to get better overnight. And I think this is the last one here. No, next to the last one. Practice patience. Yeah, next to the last. Practice patience. There are a few things that make people want to give up more than us being impatient with them. Would you agree with that? We need to understand that none of us, myself included, we've not arrived anywhere. And Jesus is still being patient with us. And we need to practice patience with others. All right. How many of you know the last one's always the kicker? Okay? All right, let me give you this one. Accept reality. Forgive. And I want to deal here a minute with this last one. Grieve your expectations. When we are dealing with people, and especially if it's someone that we want to be involved in a relationship with, and I'm not talking about a relationship like getting married. Let me say this. I'm not singling it down to that. I'm talking about all of our relationships. We have certain expectation levels that we set. Sometimes the relationship doesn't mature to those relationships. We need to understand that we need to accept reality. We need to forgive. And we need to readjust our expectations. I had this conversation with a very close friend of mine about 2 weeks ago. We sat down over dinner with each other. And I said to this person, you know, this is what I thought. You said this, that led me to that conclusion, and then you did this, and that led me to a conclusion, and then we talked some more, and this led me to a conclusion, and I had some expectations that were up here, and I'm going to tell you something, my feelings are hurt. And they said to me, well, I understand, but, and then they said, this happened, that happened, I had this other thing, and we talked that thing through until we got our expectations lined up with each other. And now, I'm not upset, or I don't feel hurt whenever I thought you were going to do this, but you wound up doing that, because now our expectations are on the same level with each other. But being the eternal optimist that I am, I had my expectations real high, and I had to grieve those things down. You understand what I'm saying? Because I wanted it to go further than it was going to go. And so, I had to accept reality, I had to forgive, and I had to readjust my expectations on my friendship with this particular person. And I still ain't happy about it. But it is what it is, isn't it, honey? But I hate it. Let me say this. I have a very difficult time with my emotions. I'm a very emotional person. Consequently, then, I have difficulty with my emotions. If you ask me what I think, I can tell you real quick. If you ask me how I feel, I have no idea. Generally, it takes 2 or 3 days of thinking about how I feel before I can tell you how I feel. I have been tore up emotionally in my private world, or in my vocational world, let me put it that way, in my vocational world because of a change in my boss. I got a new boss. So the relationship changed, and it immediately started off on a bad foot. And that's been, 4 or 5 months. It has taken me 4 or 5 months to figure out what the problem is. I knew something wasn't right. I knew I wasn't at peace. I knew that when my cell phone went off and I looked at the caller ID and his name was on it, that I had to whisper a prayer before I answered the phone. That I had to brace myself, because if not, I was getting ready to be upset with the conversation, because we didn't have a conversation that I didn't end up me being upset with at the end. This week, I discovered what the problem is. It finally sort of just come up to the top. It's like a bubble that was up under the water that kind of and went upon. And what happened was, I was here Wednesday in my office, and I was talking to someone else, another man that I work for, and he sort of stuck a pin in the bubble, and it just went. And in just ranting and raving, I said what the problem was without even realizing what it was I had said. And when I said it, I was like, there's the problem. This is what is wrong in this relationship. Now that I understand that, I can deal with it. I won't let this relationship continue the way it's going, because I cannot work, nor will I choose to live, in this sort of an environment. And it's not, please hear me, not all his fault, not all my fault. It always takes two to argue. Okay? Always takes two to argue. But this relationship was toxic. There was never any, "Don, are you having a good day?" would get the response of, "You don't really care, so why are you asking?" That's how bad it was. I mean, there was nothing peaceable that could be said between the two of us on any subject. But now I understand why. And I'm like, okay, now that I know, I can deal with it. I can bring my expectations down to the level that they need to be on. I can forgive, and I can readjust my expectations. Because what I'm commanded to do is as best as I'm able to live at peace with all men. It doesn't say that all men are right. It just says as best as I'm able to live at peace with them. This is the identical same thing that I'm saying to you this morning. We need to be careful. Those of you single women in the room, there's a lot of bad apples out there. Amen. For all of you single men in the room, there's a lot of bad apples out there. There's a lot of crazy people doing crazy stuff. For married people, it is worth the price that has to be paid to have real and honest intimacy in a marriage relationship. Now, I'm not talking about, let me look around the room, how old are we? Okay. I'm not talking about sex here. Okay? I'm talking about a heartfelt understanding of the other person. Gets on Michelle's nerves when she'll come in and she'll say, "You know what I was thinking?" I'll go, "Yeah." "Well, what then?" And I can tell her what it was she had on her mind. Gets on her nerves when I pull that stunt. But I tell her, "You don't think a thought doesn't come through my mind first." Yeah. But it is scary how many times that goes both ways. Where we understand what it is the other one's thinking without them ever having to say anything. We just know. And in order, you know, it's like we were talking to Anna one time, and Anna said, "Well, can everybody have a relationship like you and Don?" And the answer back to that was, "Oh yeah, you can. But there's a price to be paid." And when the boundaries are appropriate, and the understanding is right, and the expectations are correct, there really isn't anything better in our lives than good relationships. God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." I am not a rock. I am not an island. Amen?
Amen.
Let's us, the only people we have any control over is the one sitting in your seat. Let's make sure that we're not toxic to other people. Let's make sure that our lives are a blessing to others. And let's make sure that in everything we do and in everything that we say and in every action and in every reaction that we are demonstrating the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ to ourselves and to one another. Father, we thank You for Your great grace and Your great mercy. We thank You for Your love. And we thank You for the helpfulness of Your relationship with us. Because in You is life and life abundant. And so, Lord Jesus, we want to come to that well. And we want to drink until we can't drink anymore. So that we can go out into the world and freely give away what it is we have freely received. We bless You for the goodness of Your Word. And we ask You, Lord, that in the difficulty that is involved in relationships, that You would be with us through the person of Your Holy Spirit. That You would, O Holy Spirit of God, put a hedge about us to keep away unhealthy relationships and let in the people in our lives that can help us and that we can help them. To the honor and glory of Your kingdom, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have yourselves a good week.